Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. And Stephanie, if she was here, would say your hermitage of the heart and your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven and draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate this difficult life. Today, we have a special guest with us, Dr. Anthony Lillis, who's been the academic dean of three seminaries and is the co-founder of the Avila Institute. And we're going to be talking about spiritual direction, what should be happening in spiritual direction, what's normal. And I guess by the very nature of this, what's not normal or what's not very helpful. So, Dr. Lillis, welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio.
Dan, it is so good to be with you, and I appreciate everything you're doing. This topic is really important, so I'm glad you're opening it up.
This is one moment where I'm really happy that I talked to hundreds and hundreds of people on a regular basis, because I have no memory of who I talked to about what I'm going to share right now. But what happened was somebody was talking about they have a spiritual director and they're going to spiritual direction. And I asked, well, what is that like? Like, what does it look like? And I was really disappointed in what I heard. And this isn't the first time I've heard many times where people describe how they interact with their spiritual director. And I think, wow, I don't want to be judgmental, but that just doesn't feel right. And I guess I'm pretty biased because we do training for priests to become spiritual directors. And then we have a spiritual direction school, and there are there are a number of very central issues that every spiritual director should talk to their directees about most of the time. But I guess, Dr. Lillis, if you were to describe what it ought to look like, what's most of the conversation in spiritual direction about?
You know, it can depend a little bit on the method that the spiritual director uses. There's a lot of different ways to get at the same thing. But what the spiritual director is doing, no matter what's going on conversationally, what he ought to be doing is constantly discerning, how is the Holy Spirit working in this person who's before me right now?
Right.
And sometimes that can involve what may seem to be more mundane questions, like, you know, how's your health or something like that. But it also, if it's done well, it also circles into the central relationship, and that is your relationship with the Lord and what's going on in your prayer. You can't divorce that from the rest of your life because that's totally connected to it. There's a way in which, if it's done right, the spiritual director helps the person in direction see that what God is unfolding in the depths of their heart is the most true, the most real thing that's going on, and all the other things that seem to grab their attention are secondary. So it's a little bit of an art of a conversation where the spiritual director is trying to discern what the Holy Spirit's doing so that he can help the person under direction better respond to God's action in their soul.
Yeah, I agree with you. For me, I use a framework called a paradigm of ascent, which has as its center the person's, just as a backdrop to the conversation. So as I'm trying to discern and understand the health and progress of the soul, at its center is the person's yes. You know, how are they responding to God's invitation to go deeper, which, you know, fits in with things like what's going on with your job and, you know, how's your health and all of that. And then underneath that, how is their sacramental participation, which is, of course, foundational to the spiritual life, making sure. Now, sometimes, as you know, both of us have directed people who are well down the road, and this is just a given, they go to daily mass, and you know, so you don't necessarily always have to cover those things. But one thing I find, even with those who are pretty far along, is I almost always want to talk about what's going on in their prayer life. So how are they doing with their examine? What are they hearing? What are the patterns happening? And then the last thing is the ascetical dimension of our life, self-denial for the sake of self-giving. So that framework helps me to kind of always stay focused on the fundamentals. But as you say, it's not, there's no step one, step two, step three, because, you know, I've had directees who've had diagnosis of cancer, directees who are lost their jobs, you know, and so you're entering in and you're dealing with life circumstances that can be very difficult for them to understand, which gets to what you were saying about, you know, what is the Holy Spirit doing? What is the Holy Spirit leading you to? Because those circumstances are what, are what the Lord allows or causes to draw you more deeply into relationship with Him. Does that sit well with you?
I look at it, you know, the whole Christian life in a certain way is like an extension of the incarnation. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He chose to be manifest in the limited and even broken and sometimes shattered, completely shattered parts of our lives. He's entered into our poverty. And what He has to say to us is so true and so beautiful and salvific. And so once a soul can begin to enter into that conversation with the Lord in the places where He seems to be absent in their life, they're going to, the draw to ceaseless prayer, to be in perpetual conversation with Him, the draw to the sacraments, the draw to the ascetical life, all of that is like a response to how the Lord is manifesting Himself. So a good spiritual director does, you know, pays attention to the human, you know, what's going on there, because this is where God's manifest. And at the same time, just like you brilliantly did, you know, there's kind of a little in the back of your mind, a little bit of a checklist, like, you know, is he going to confession? You know, is daily mass still working out for this person? Are they receiving a lot of consolations right now? Does God seem to be far away from them? And if He seems far away, why? Or if they're in consolation, is this really consolation? Our propensity for self-delusion is so great. And so all of
deception from the enemy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So all of these things need to constantly be discerned. And if it was just a human conversation, we'd never be able to do this. But the Holy Spirit at work in my heart, you know, he helps me recognize what He's doing in the heart of another. And that's what makes the whole conversation possible.
Yeah. The other element that I find extremely helpful is a backdrop of understanding what is the normative progress of the soul. So I, of course, like to lean on the Dionysian, what I would call the Dionysian framework of the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways. But most folks, of course, are in the purgative. But, you know, it's understanding, okay, so you have the moment that they're in. That's really important. You want to, because that's where God is, right, in that moment. But then what is He leading them to in terms of virtue and prayer and union? I mean, because the purpose of spiritual direction is to help facilitate, or I don't know what the best words to use, facilitate or draw the hearts of directees to a deeper union with the Lord. And the goal is, of course, to become a saint, or to help them to become a saint. But that pathway isn't one of, it's not one of ambiguity, but I want to be careful we're not robots, right? So I remember Sewald asked Pope Benedict, I don't remember if it was when he was Cardinal Ratzinger or not, he said, he was trying to trap him, I think, and he said, are there many ways to God? And Pope Benedict said, there are as many ways to God as there are people. And it was a way of blowing up the trap he was trying to lead him into. Maybe I'm being a little suspicious of Sewald. He seemed like a good guy, but so the pathway that each of us follows has 1,000 permutations. I mean, Teresa of Avila used the castle analogy, and so we, and then the mansions, right? And so we think of, or the rooms, and we think, well, there are 7. Well, no, she said there are, I don't know, do you remember the language she used? Myriad or something like that?
Rooms? Myriad. Yeah.
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 Means what? Thousands, hundreds, who knows, right? And
yeah.
And even though you and I are seeking both to follow Jesus in the Catholic Church, you know, you have all kinds of life circumstances. Your room configuration is different than mine. Even so, we both will travel through, in essence, if we're on the right way, those 7 rooms, in quotes, you know, as a macro category. There's micro differences, but in a macro sense, we're going to go through the purgative, illuminative, and hopefully the unitive. Is that something that you have in the back of your mind when you give direction?
Well, yeah, I think you have to, because the transition that a soul makes from when it's living predominantly, that for me, the key thing is, am I dealing with a soul that is predominantly kind of learning virtue, cooperating with what God's doing in it, or God actually cooperating with its natural power of reason? And so this guy wants to be a good Christian. He has renounced sin. He's doing things to break away from sin, and there's some virtue to learn. And so God is giving him grace to use his power of reason to make good decisions. Well, that's one, that's somebody who has a very beautiful desire, and God wants to strengthen it through helping him use his natural gifts to respond to the Lord more with greater and greater love and affection. And he'll go pretty far if he stays faithful to the graces that's given him. But God needs to take him the rest of the way. And so the second kind of graces that I look for is what the church calls, or St. Thomas very specifically, operative graces or mystical graces. These graces are gifts that you don't really, it's not really my natural power of reason, you know, I take initiative to wake up in the morning to go to prayer. By this time, usually when somebody begins to get mystical graces that predominate in their lives, they've already acquired some of those natural virtues of prayerfulness. Now, though, the Lord is bringing that into perfection by this almost sheer gift. You've done nothing to earn it. You can't force it. You can't produce it. It just comes and lifts you up in ways that you have never been lifted up before. And when a soul begins to receive those, you don't really self-generate them. You sanction them. You say yes to them, a little bit like Our Lady, let it be done to me according to your will. And so that, how you respond to those graces is a little bit different than the graces that you have in the beginning of the spiritual life. And so I pay attention to, how is God working here? Are these predominantly graces of a guy who's acquiring virtue and learning the basics of the spiritual life and trying to have a mature desire, devotion for the Lord? Or is this somebody who's been tried and tested and the Lord is now beginning to complete his work in one way or another? and or at least raise it to a greater kind, a greater strength and stability. That soul needs to learn to respond a little bit differently than the soul who's initially saying yes.
Friends, we'll continue this powerful conversation with Dr. Anthony Lewis after the break. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan Burke and Dr. Anthony Lewis talking about spiritual direction, what ought to be happening. So the answer to my question, of course, that you responded to regarding the backdrop of the progress of the soul is most certainly, and you began to describe what happens mainly in the transition between the purgative and the illuminative way, which is probably the most common transition you deal with people of goodwill who are really striving for the Lord. But I want to back up a bit, right? The beginning of the progress of the soul is, to use Teresa of Avila's analogy, folks are typically, we're talking about Catholics, right? So they're baptized, confirmed, they're hanging out in a little bit what we might call no man's land on the pickleball court, not to mix metaphors, but it's this area in between, it's in the kingdom, right? But it's this area between the entrance of the kingdom. So you're coming across the moat and the drawbridge into the kingdom, which is baptism and then confirmation. And now you're in this outer court, she calls it. And then you want to enter into the castle. But when you first enter into the castle, I think the biggest things that happen that you have to shepherd people through is one, awareness of sin, but self-awareness, or what I would call a Godward self-awareness. Does that make sense to you? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Saint Catherine of Siena says there's no knowledge with God except through self-knowledge, and no self-knowledge except through knowledge of God. The two things kind of like go together like a heartbeat, you know, and when somebody doesn't really know themselves and maybe theologically has applied themselves and understands, you know, all the theological points there is to know about God, there's a way in which, unfortunately, their mind, being what it is, kind of idealizes an abstraction. And so how does the Lord break down that abstraction? He usually causes that soul to suffer some horrendous way. And in the midst of that suffering, that everything is shattered for the person. But now, because of the self-knowledge they've gained through the suffering they went through, they have a much more grounded a much more grounded and real knowledge of the Lord and his goodness to them. You can only find it through suffering.
Amen. Not amen and like, yeah, bring it on, but yes, most certainly it's true. Regarding self-knowledge, there, I just want to let folks know there's a great course that's going to be launching here in shortly in at the Avila Institute called The Road to Self-Awareness and Healing. And it's going to be taught by Dr. Ian Murphy. And if you think that you could use increased self-awareness to help you understand how it is that you can better listen to the voice of God, which they do go hand in hand, which is what Dr. Lois was sharing about the wisdom of the Father through St. Catherine of Siena. So go to avila-institute.org to check that out. So avila-institute.org. So in spiritual direction, I'm always thinking about, okay, where are they? And then where are they headed? So early stage purgative, we're dealing with mortal sin typically and how to overcome that, and then habitual venial sin. But fundamental disciplines, like spiritual disciplines that are irreplaceable and that we absolutely cannot do without, that we have to help our directees learn for them to make progress. Among them, outside of the sacraments, so let's just assume somebody understands sacraments. Dr. Lillis, what would you say are the most important spiritual disciplines?
Well, I think for me, you know, we can look at the end in terms of becoming a saint. You know, the end is actually the beatific vision and glory. The other way to look at it is operatively, the end is praying without ceasing. Mm-hmm. You know, in the vision of glory, when God is all in all, we will be in this face-to-face eternal conversation with him, an eternal heart-to-heart with him. And so the spiritual disciplines that are necessary to get there, one, you know, frequent examination of our conscience becomes mm-hmm. very, very important, because we lie to ourselves, we lie to God, we lie to each other about what's really going on. And the Lord, as you draw closer to him, he's going to call you into greater truthfulness and integrity. So that presents itself. Another discipline would be reading the sacred scriptures, knowing the sacred scriptures. It actually helps you with the first one to, you know, so in other spiritualities, you know, you try to attain a state of consciousness or something like that. You know, I'm thinking non-Christian religions. Christianity isn't really concerned about states of consciences or spiritual experiences. Christianity is concerned, have a clean conscience before the Lord. That's paramount. And to help you get that clean conscience, reading the sacred scriptures, reading the Bible, what does the Bible have for it? The story of salvation that is in the sacred scriptures is it's historical, it's real, but it's also personal. What you see, the patterns that unfold in the sacred scriptures reveal to you the way God is working in your own life. And so it opens up a wisdom of how God is working in your heart when you immerse yourself in the sacred scriptures. And then
that immersing, what would you call that, mental prayer, or what would you call it?
It's the beginning of mental prayer. You know, the ancient practice of Lectio Divina, is this sacred reading of the scriptures that opens up into other kinds of prayer. But in the beginning, you need to learn what's the Bible? The Bible reveals, you know, God's language to humanity, but it also reveals your language, the language of your heart to yourself. You come into self-knowledge through the scriptures. And so you could call this the beginning or the threshold into mental prayer. And then probably a third element is actual practicing of different kinds of, practicing different kinds of, in the beginning, especially vocal prayers. They're going to take you somewhere. So for example, the Jesus prayer is what the Orthodox use or the Eastern Catholics use. For us in the West, we tend to use the rosary. The liturgy, the hours, you know, and the Psalms, praying through the Psalms, educates, St. Athanasius says, it educates the heart to know the Psalms and to pray the Psalms. The rosary, the Psalms, and all of these things we're repeating. These kinds of vocal prayers, what would be at the center of them is the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You know, it feels like we're just getting started and we're out of time. So we have prepared a resource for the listeners related to all this show. And if you're compelled by the kind of prayer that Dr. Lillis is speaking about, we have a film series that's free to you. It wasn't free to us. It was very expensive to produce, but that you can view it privately or show it in your parish or do it in small groups. And it's on how to pray, basically. And you can find it at spiritualdirection.com/pray, spiritualdirection.com/pray. And of course, what we're talking about today, we have an endless list of courses at the Avila Institute that are constantly recurring, and there are new courses coming up, that sort of thing. And so we have a course called Foundations of Prayer and Union with God. We have courses on discernment of spirits. We have courses on introduction to spiritual theology. So an endless well of spiritual resources. Of course, you know, spiritualdirection.com is kind of the doorway to everything we do, but avila-institute.org as well. But if you want that film series, go out to spiritualdirection.com/pray, and I promise you that it will have a huge effect on your spiritual progress. So with that, thank you for being with us, Dr. Lillis. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.